Chapter 2. Preparing for the Ordeal. But to return to my work and my mission. After receiving my instructions, I returned to my boarding house, and when evening came, I began to practice the role in which I was to make my debut on the morrow. What a difficult task, I thought, to appear before a crowd of people and convince them that I was insane. I had never been near insane persons before in my life, and had not the faintest idea of what their actions were like. And then to be examined by a number of learned physicians who make insanity a specialty, and who daily come in contact with insane persons. How could I hope to pass these doctors and convince them that I was crazy? I feared that they could not be deceived. I began to think my task a hopeless one, but it had to be done. So I flew to the mirror and examined my face. I remembered all I had read of the doings of crazy people, how first of all they have staring eyes, and so I opened mine as wide as possible and stared unblinkingly at my own reflection. I assure you, the sight was not reassuring, even to myself, especially in the dead of night. I tried to turn the gas up higher in hopes that it would raise my courage. I succeeded only partially, but I consoled myself with the thought that in a few nights more, I would not be there, but locked in a cell with a lot of lunatics. The weather was not cold, but nevertheless, when I thought of what was to come, wintry chills ran races up and down my back in very mockery of the perspiration which was slowly but surely taking the curl out of my bangs. Between times, practicing before the mirror and picturing my future as a lunatic, I read snatches of improbable and impossible ghost stories, so that when the dawn came to chase away the night, I felt I was in a fit mood for my mission. Yet hungry, enough to feel keenly that I wanted my breakfast. Slowly and sadly, I took my morning bath and quietly bade farewell to a few of the most precious articles known to modern civilization. Tenderly, I put my toothbrush aside, and when taking a final rub of the soap, I murmured, "It may be for days, and it may be for longer." Then I donned the old clothing I had selected for the occasion. I was in the mood to look at everything through very serious glasses. "It's just as well to take a last fond look," I mused, "for who could tell but that the strain of playing crazy and being shut up with a crowd of mad people might turn my own brain, and I would never get back." But not once did I think of shirking my mission. Calmly, outwardly at least, I went out to my crazy business. I first thought it best to go to a boarding house, and, after securing lodgings, confidentially tell the landlady, or lord, whichever it might chance to be, that I was seeking work, and in a few days after, apparently go insane. When I reconsidered the idea, I feared it would take too long to mature. Suddenly, I thought how much easier it would be going to a boarding house for working women. I knew if, once I made a houseful of women believe me crazy, that they would never rest until I was out of their reach and in secure quarters. From a directory, I selected the Temporary Home for Females, number 84, 2nd Avenue. As I walked down the avenue, I determined that, once inside the home, I should do the best I could to get started on my journey to Blackwell's Island and the Insane Asylum.